On Book Notes this month, it is such a pleasure to have as my guest Dan Fesperman, Baltimore author and former foreign correspondent for the Baltimore Sun, also self-confessed obsessed with Berlin, which is the setting for his 13th novel. This is called Winter Work, and really the best way to encapsulate it is with the blurb from Joseph Cannon, the New York Times best-selling author of The Good German, and he says, "Winter Work vividly captures those chaotic first months after the Berlin Wall came down, with East Germany in free fall and once feared Stasi officers running for cover." Obviously, this is based then in history to some extent, and that makes me wonder how much as a creative writer you still draw on your journalistic background.
Yes, I'm always drawn to, as in this situation, instances in recent history that are somewhat documented, but not too well documented. This operation at the center of this book remains pretty well cloaked in secrecy, and that gives me a lot of room to run with my imagination.
Aside from The Good German, I must say, listening to you reading at the launch, I was also reminded of the 2006 astonishing movie, The Lives of Others. So just how do you create that world of the Stasi and their demise?
A lot of research. It also helped that I lived in Berlin from 93 to 96, when a lot of these secrets about what had happened right after the wall came down started to emerge, and they started opening up the Stasi's files to the public. And in that movie, which was a wonderful movie, it's one of my favorites as well, it was focused more on the domestic side of the Stasi, on spying on their own people. My main character, Emil Grimm, was on the foreign intelligence side, in charge of spying operations at NATO headquarters and throughout West Germany and places like that.
So as well as Emil Grimm, there's the CIA agent Claire Saylor. What's interesting is that you don't necessarily make them protagonists and antagonists.
And they, in the course of this book, they develop this sort of odd chemistry, even though they are technically still adversaries. Emil represents an enemy who has basically just been defeated and is fighting for personal survival much more than he is for his old masters at the Stasi. So she can sympathize with that because she's not the greatest company person herself. So I think she can see in him a lot of her own motivations.
I know that you have also read the audiobook. Won't you give us a taste of that, please?
Okay. I'll read just a few paragraphs from the opening of the book. February 1990. In winter, the forest bears its secrets. Hill and vale are revealed through disrobing trees. Mud and bone arise from dying weeds. Woodpeckers, taking notice, pry deeper on leafless limbs and rotting logs. Their drumbeat goes out like a warning. Emil Grimm, out for a morning walk, exulted in all of it. Being a German of a certain age, he loved getting into the woods, and as a professional keeper of secrets, he was impressed by any display of full disclosure. The trouble was that this year's unveiling hadn't confined itself to the trees. His employer, indeed his country, was being stripped as bare of its cloaking as the oaks and beeches, all because a concrete wall in Berlin had been knocked to the ground a few months earlier, a shocking act of defiance that had set people loose in ways forbidden for nearly 30 years.
Dan Fesperman reading from his newest book, Winter Work, and you can find out more at Dan's website, danfesperman.com. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.